Would the young people join me? I bet you were glad to hear that we're trying to start a junior youth group, weren't you? Now, you know what we need to pray is that the Lord bring just the right person or just the right husband and wife to be head of that ministry. Wouldn't that be awesome? It would be awesome, I know. Because some of you really want to know how come you can't go to the big kids stuff. Well, I have a question for you this morning. How many of you like bows? Okay, how many of you don't like bows? Not too many people like bows. You have to be a unique person to like bows. But you know, bows sometimes do good stuff. Can anybody think of good things that bows do? Can you think of anything good that a bug does? Bees make honey. Anybody else? That's awesome. Bugs do good stuff. They've all messed me by now. No, I'm not kidding. But some things they do, like they take care of carcasses in the woods, you know, and that's something awful. Like, that's like maggots to do that. And you think, ew, but yet they do a good thing. And spiders, I guess, I don't know if you would consider them really bugs, but spiders, you know, eat other kinds of bugs and lots of things. Bugs do a lot of good things. You don't like spiders, right? But some spiders are very cool. But bugs do a lot of things. But you know what? Spiders, let's just take spiders. Although, like I said, I'm not sure that they consider them bugs. Does anybody know that? Are spiders considered bugs? No. Okay, well, let's do something else then besides spiders. We don't want to lead you guys astray. Okay. Let's think of something else that does something good. Okay. Bees, for instance. Okay. Now, bees pollinate flowers. Okay? Even ones that don't make honey for our consumption. They pollinate flowers. They do a lot of good stuff. But one bee and a couple bees might do that. But if you were in a place where there were a lot of bees, would that be a good thing? Would you like want to hang around there? No, you wouldn't, because that would be dangerous, wouldn't it, to hang around a lot of bees? It would. Well, you know what? And this is where I'm going with all of this. That sometimes in life, you have lots of things going on. Let's just say your mom yelled at you because you didn't clean up your room, and you have a whole lot of homework that has to be done, and your friend called and really wanted you to come to their birthday party, and you have to go shopping for something special that's happening in the family. And you have all of these things going on. And that's almost like too many bugs. Now, if it was just one of those things each time, it would be something fun. But altogether, it's just too much stuff. Now, I want you to listen to me. That's going to happen to you all the time in life. All the time in life, no matter how old you are, there's going to be times when you're just going to have much stuff. And you're going to think you have to do all this stuff. And it's all going to be laid on your shoulders. Pretend you have lots of stuff on your shoulders right now. Pretend you have something real heavy on your shoulders. Bend down. Oh, yes, we're all burdened. This is what I want to tell you. When you pray and when you give all of that stuff to the Lord, you know what happens? You're able to stand up. You're able to get rid of all those burdens. And he helps you to do what the next thing is and the next thing without getting all burdened down. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, is that even though all of those things are like too many bugs, that Jesus will help you get rid of all of those burdens so that you won't get all beat down and that you won't get all smashed down. So let's pray that he helps us to remember to do that, because this is going to happen no matter how old you are. Well, Father God, even though we're young, it seems like there's lots of things that are going on in our lives. We have to go to lessons, and we have to go to classes, and we take lessons, and we have to be here and be there, and we have school, and we have so many things. And we pray right now, Father, that you would help us to not be burdened by all of those things, and that we would remember that we can rest in your arms, and that we can ask you to help us, and you will take those burdens from us and help us to be able to do what it is that you've asked us to do. We pray. pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's kind of fortuitous that we were talking about bees, because after I wrote this message, I was just thinking about bees this week, because I remembered I read an article in the paper a long time ago about a widow who lived in a home by herself, and some bees came and made a home in the eave of the house, and her family wanted to take the bees away, and she wouldn't let them, and they were just a bunch of bees. She didn't know what kind of bees, and she wanted to leave them there. She's like, you know, leave them there, and she wouldn't let the family do anything about them. She said, what are a few bees? And I guess after a period of time, her attic floor collapsed, because she had so many bees in there, and apparently they had been honeybees, and they had made honeycombs, and the weight was so much that it crashed through her attic floor. And I was just thinking to myself about bugs, you know, and about how, you know, a couple of honeybees are a good thing, but a lot of honeybees aren't a good thing. You know, that's just not such a good thing to have an overabundance of even a good bug. Well, this sermon is about bugs. I guess you've figured that out already. In particular, about a biblical response to bugs. And that might seem kind of odd to you, but that's exactly what the lesson in Joel 2 was about this morning, a biblical response to bugs. Now, Joel is the second of the 12 minor prophets, and there won't be a test. Perhaps for the confirmands there will be. You know, not much is known about Joel. He most likely wrote this book around 830 B.C. during the reign of King Joash. Now, the cool thing about King Joash is he ascended the throne when he was 7 years old. That's why I bring him up. That's pretty unusual. And he was such a little guy when he ascended the throne that Jehoiada the priest was running the southern kingdom of Judah. And invaders had infested the land of Judah, but not only had invaders, people infested the land of Judah, a severe drought had fallen on the land. The land had been overrun by locusts, and the prophet Joel was called by God to help people deal with these bug problems they seemed to have. Joel told the people that the invasion of these bugs, the invasion of these people, was a punishment for their sins. Well, you know what? You and I have bug problems of our own. Now, some of them have six legs. Cockroaches in the kitchen, silverfish in the bathroom, bees in the yard. But some of our bug problems don't have any legs at all. When something we're doing doesn't go right, we say there are some bugs that need to be worked out. There are specialists who make their living debugging computers. When we're irritated or something is frustrating us, we say we're bugged by it. When someone's suffering an unknown illness, we say that they have some kind of a bug. Now, those are minor bug problems. But the bug problem in the book of Joel was a major one. Locusts by the millions were laying waste to the whole country. Every green leaf had been eaten. The sky was blocked out by bugs. The crops were gone. Livestock was dying. The people were beginning to starve. And just like the Dust Bowl in the Great Plains during the middle of our last century, the threat wasn't just to the food supply. The bugs were getting to the people. They were depressed. They were hopeless. You know, when there is no light at the end of the tunnel, despair sets in, and that happened in Judah. They had no fruit, no grain, no healthy animals. The people had no sacrifices to offer God in the temple, so worship itself stopped. The priests had no ministry to perform. And the people were wondering if God had decided to not take care of them anymore. You see, they thought that God sent the locust plague because he had abandoned them. The lives of these people were infested with bugs. And at the very heart of their existence, they were dying. So we're talking in the book of Joel about something a little more serious than weevils in the Cheerios. The bugs of Joel were tearing apart the lives of the people of Judah. Now, these are the bugs that tear our lives apart. Economic recession, unemployment, they're a locust plague for us, aren't they? streets of the city full of crime, people without money, people who can't pay their mortgages or buy groceries or clothes for their children, and some of you might be facing those same bugs. Environmental worries, the hole in the ozone layer, things have gotten so bad we don't even hear about that anymore. Toxic waste in our drinking water. You know, we don't have foreign invaders yet, but our bugs are like those bugs that Joel had on his mind. Cancer, marriages falling apart, AIDS, swine flu, H1N1, Cub Scout-aged children who murder each other or their parents, colleges it seems like few can afford to go to, political unrest at best, a potential antichrist at worst. The bugs in today's news and our bank accounts, they eat away at our strength, and they take away our nerve just like the bugs in the Bible did. And with no light at the end of the tunnel, we could be in despair. So on this Harvest Home Sunday, we've opened this little book of Joel in the Old Testament to see what God's prophet has to say about those bugs. The first thing he says is repent. Well, of course, you'd expect the prophet to say that. In verse 13, we heard the word of the Lord. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. You see, Joel and all the Hebrew people of his day saw everything as a part of their covenant with God. Locusts weren't just a bug problem. Locusts were a symptom of a serious disease. Something was wrong between the people and God. And the bad times reminded the people that an even greater crisis was waiting for them, because later in the book he talks about Judgment Day, the coming of the Lord. God sent locusts to shake the people up, to shock them back into a right track so they wouldn't get completely lost. You know, today, we are not so quick to interpret misfortune as punishment from God. But we are still called to repent. And we do create many of our bugs from our own bad choices, financial, medical, and marital. And the suffering they bring does remind us time and time again that we need to change our ways, and we need to repent, and we need to come closer to God. And in a more general way, the fact that we experience miseries at all just reminds us of who we are without Christ, reminds us of our sinfulness. Now you might wonder what that has to do with Harvest Home. Well, you know, this past spring, we gave thanks for Rogation Sunday. Harvest Home, as we prayed earlier, is a fulfillment of that day. And it is an old tradition in the church that originally provided for the family of the pastor back when nobody had very much. They shared what they had. The people of the church shared their crops and made sure the pastor's family didn't starve. And Rogation Sunday gave us an opportunity to give thanks. And Harvest Home, you see, was always used as an opportunity, just like a little Thanksgiving, to not lament over what we didn't have or what they didn't have, but to give thanks for what they did have and to share what they did have. Harvest Home gives us also an opportunity, just like a little Thanksgiving, to not lament over what we don't have and to give thanks for what we do have. Now, there's another tradition that I think we would do well to remember from Joel. You see, when disaster struck in the Old Testament, the prophets called for repentance. Disaster had struck in the book of Joel, and Joel called for repentance. In the history of our nation, when we have been faced with disaster, the calls for repentance become so loud. You know, this past Friday, we remembered 9/11. You remember 9/11, don't you? It has been 8 years since that day changed our lives forever. Do you remember how pious everyone suddenly became after 9/11? Do you remember that? Churches were full with people. The entire nation became a nation of prayer. Suddenly, we wanted to get right with God 8 years ago. Well, you know, that phenomenon has pretty much disappeared today. But for those of us who are in the church, We have days like this to remind us. And all of that leads us up to that Harvest Home text that I read. Now, after Joel calls the people to worship, he calls them to repent, he has some great news for them. Do not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. He's saying, hey, there's green grass growing out there. There are buds on the trees, there's grapes on the vines, and I don't hear any buzzing. You know, it sounds like a pesticide ad from some ad magazine. No more bugs. But be encouraged. Share what the Lord has blessed you with. And that's good news for a couple of reasons. First, in Joel, it meant that the people were going to get their livelihood back, and they were going to have food on their tables again, and the nation was going to be saved. But more than that, for the people in Joel, it meant that God still cared. The people had drifted, they had doubted, but God was still going to take care of them. We have drifted. We have doubted. But God is still going to take care of us, even when we're plagued by bugs. You know, Martin Luther wrote in his small catechism that God provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all that I need from day to day. God also protects me in time of danger and guards me from every evil. Now, here's the good news. You may have bugs, but the bugs are not going to destroy you. And you can be thankful in your time of harvest. And you can share what the Lord has given you. Now, I am not saying that God is like a big heavenly organ man. God's providence isn't just like technology that will save us and pick up, you know, we just have to pick up the phone and call. God's ways are far more subtle and far more, you know, baffling than that. And we can't presume on God to solve all of our problems when we want in the way we want. But we can have confidence in two things. God is the master of the universe. And he will eventually exterminate all of the bugs in our lives. Now, he created locusts, and he created mosquitoes, as well as people and nations and churches and economies and families. And he rules over all of those things. But he says in Joel something that has given me strength down through the years. And I just want to share this with you in the book of Joel. You see, this verse has repeatedly given me hope. And it's Joel 2:25a. And it says that God will return the years the locusts have eaten. Now, I want you to think for a minute about the bugs in your life. How many of you have had bugs that have eaten away things that we will never get back? We will not get that time back. We will not get that opportunity back. We will not get anything back. And we know that. But God says, I will return to you the years the locusts have eaten. So even though we don't see how that is going to work, and even though we know we cannot return to those things because that ship has sailed, God will return those years to us. And we have his promise. And I have seen it be true in my own life. The memory of all the things that God has done for his people throughout history, especially the gift of his son, oh my goodness, you know, it assures us that God is still on our side. And he blesses us and he saves us. And doesn't that in and of itself make you a generous soul? That's what all of this is about. God and us as a family. Now I want you to listen to how Joel ends this passage in our text this morning. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Now the whole point of the bug episode is God's dramatic rescue of the people from the plague, and Joel says to remind them of their covenant with God. God insisted that they remembered him. And he insisted that they be aware of his presence. And he insisted that they gave him credit for their blessings. And he insisted that they worship him. God insists that we remember him. He insists that we be aware of his presence. He insists that we give him credit for the blessings. And he insists that we worship him. And that's kind of what Harvest Home is about too. It's a day to count our blessings and to share those blessings with those whom God loves. But it's mainly a day for us to remember God and what he's done for us, and to be aware of his presence, and to give him credit for the harvest and for all of the good and perfect gifts that he gives us. When we look to the stuff that we're sharing, you know, we could easily congratulate ourselves. We could be patting ourselves on the back. We're such good givers. We're so awesome. We're so cool. And we could do that in the guise of giving thanks to God for the good harvest. And it could be a time when we would just trivialize all of the problems that we have, which are many, many in this church family. And we could trivialize all the problems of the world so that we could just feel more generous. But you see, our giving doesn't come from appreciation for the good things we've gotten or out of ignoring the sorrowful things that we've seen. Our hearts for giving, you see, come out of remembering God's faithfulness to us. Listen to these words of a dying pastor in Europe. 3 times the war passed over Latvia, killing 2/5 of our people. They burned down my church. They destroyed the Bibles and burnt the hymnals. They took away my wife and children, and I never saw them again. When it was all gone, I realized that I had nothing in the world left but Jesus. It was like a breath of freedom. Now that pastor had big fun problems. But he also knew the meaning of worshiping God, that in the midst of the bugs, he had Jesus. Now today, we're giving thanks for the harvest. We're giving thanks for good health, and we're giving thanks for not so good health. We're giving thanks for our troubled nation. We're giving thanks for our families, both loving and not so loving. And we're giving thanks for all of the things the Lord has given us in our lives. But we're acknowledging the bugs. And we acknowledge that they might make it difficult sometimes for us to trust and worship God. But Joel, who is the bug prophet, tells us that we can still trust him. First, because he is always working to do away with those bugs. But especially because we know that God is in our midst and he is with us. He is our God, and there is no other. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, there are wars and rumors of wars. There is upheaval everywhere we look. In our homes, in our communities, in our country, in the world. But Father God, we remember this morning that you are still God. And we give you praise and worship in the midst of it all. Because we know, Father God, that you will take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.